Okay, we're back, and we just realized that we're both wearing white tops with denim. So you're welcome. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Whole Life Project podcast. This is episode number 6. We are killing it.
6 already?
We are doing fantastic.
I would have guessed 5.
I am Heidi's co-host, Luke Ankeny, and Heidi over here is running the show.
Most of the time. Maybe not when we're podcasting, but everywhere else, yes.
We are grateful that you stopped by to listen, to spend some time with us, to watch. I have a disclaimer. I don't know if it's a disclaimer. I need to apologize. Last week when I went back and listened and was editing, I was breathing really heavy into the microphone.
I didn't listen to it, so I didn't know.
Sounded really bad.
Oh, no.
I think I was really close, and I have an issue with my nose.
It has a deviated septum.
My ability to breathe, and so I'm going to try to pay attention to that this week and not do that.
That's good. I'll listen to see if I hear it. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I'm glad.
It's kind of funny.
I'm sure somebody did.
I will notice it if I listen to the recording.
Our one listener may have heard that, so we'll find out.
Do you even know what a deviated septum is?
It's just this part is all wonky.
That's a good explanation.
It's all wonky, and I can't breathe right. But it is kind of interesting. A lot of people talk about when you're just learning how to do something, you kind of start where you're at and you grow from there. And so
you're bad before you're good.
Yeah.
And you're good before you're great.
And you're great before you're fantastically awesome. So it's kind of interesting to go back and look and watch even just 6 episodes and be like, oh, I do that. When I talk, I say a lot. I breathe heavy into the microphone.
I should probably start watching or listening to them so I know these things.
Good to critique a little bit.
I have listened to some, and I think we're kind of dull.
We're not lively enough, perhaps.
Maybe.
But that's kind of who we are. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that real quick before we go.
Apologize for my heavy breathing.
You know, it's something Heidi has to listen to every night.
Every night.
So, yeah. So, my hat tonight, and if you can see it, it says MALSC on it. This is my work hat. This is where I work. MALSC stands.
AKA MALSC.
MALSC stands for Marsing Agricultural Labor Sponsoring Committee, founded in 1948, provides temporary labor in agriculture.
That's a good commercial.
In Idaho and the surrounding states.
You sound like an ad.
Yeah. I say it a lot to a lot of different people. Sorry, I had to get out of the way. I was heavy breathing. So today is a family-themed podcast episode. And I thought it would be fun to talk about sports and kids and our role as parents.
Sounds like fun to me.
So I titled it, Of Sports and Children, because that sounds like an ESPN 30 for 30
title. It also sounds like Of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
Did you read that book?
Nope.
Did you watch that movie?
I don't remember.
Oh.
It's possible.
Good. It's a good show. Good
book. I think I saw bits and pieces of it, Lenny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, a little bit of background we've talked about before. I grew up in a household where sports were appreciated, loved. My dad was a college athlete. I had a great uncle that was a college athlete, and I know my great grandfather signed, may have ran track at the University of Nebraska. So at least I think he did. Yeah, at least. And my grandpa on my dad's dad was a very good athlete before he went into the military. There's a story about him showing up to football practice when he was probably late 30s, early 40s. In irrigating boots and getting on the line and beating a lot of the high school kids in his irrigating boots because he was still pretty quick. And then my grandpa on my mom's side, he did all the sports in high school and didn't do anything in college. He went into the service, but he was an athlete his whole life. He just loved playing sports.
Horseshoes when he got older.
Horseshoes and softball and all that fun stuff. But growing up, it was never not an option, but we weren't forced into it. It was something that was there and we did, and we lived in a small town. And so that was kind of what you did, but started out just playing rec baseball and rec basketball. And then, middle school, Started doing football, ran cross country, did track. And, you know, my dad coached youth sports, but also middle school football and high school basketball. And so was just around it a lot and was a good part of my, and then participated in college and then coached for 10 years at the high school level. But it was just a good part of my upbringing and education and helped to shape me the person I am today, learn a lot of lessons and made a lot of good friends and just a lot of great memories of road trips and games and stuff like that. What about you?
Same. Do you want me to expand on
it? You play basketball?
No, I didn't play basketball. So I don't have as much of the history, like family history going back. My grandparents on my mom's side were immigrants. And so they did not do sports here.
Yeah, you're like...
it'd be second generation?
Second generation in this country.
Yeah.
Because your grandparents were born in Ireland or raised in Ireland?
Well, my grandpa was born in Ireland. My grandma was... She would have been first generation here. Her parents came over before she was born.
Went back to Ireland.
No, she didn't.
Oh, she stayed.
My grandpa
here.
Did.
Okay.
He came and then he went back and then he came again.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so I don't know that they did any sports. I kind of don't think so. My mom grew up in a family of all girls, and none of them did sports. Not that they weren't coordinated or athletic.
I was pretty good at pool.
Yeah, well, that's true. My grandpa was really good at pool, too, yeah. And he taught all of the girls. My mom used to go hang out in the bar with my grandpa.
Go hang out in the pool hall.
Yeah. Yeah, and so she is really good at that.
And then I got ran at a family reunion by all of
them. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And my dad was very athletic and loved sports. I think his siblings were involved in sports, but just high school. I think my dad could have run college track, and he always says he kind of regrets, wishes that he did that. No, he was told in Washington, you should have been on the team. Yeah. You would have been, I mean, right. He was fast enough, but he just took a different path. And so he loves it. He loved watching my brothers and myself, and loves watching all of his grandkids. And so does my mom. She loves sports, she's a huge football fan, basketball fan, all of that. Just, she didn't play. So I grew up thinking that running was the best ever. So my dad was a runner. That's what I found out early on. I think we talked about this in a podcast at the beginning. I found out early on, that's what I was good at. My brothers were both very good and involved in basketball, football, and track. And so we were like the same as you. Our family was just always at sporting events. Sports, football was on TV when that was, you know, in season. And so I just kind of grew up always being involved and around it, whether it was my own events or my brother's or, yeah.
Yeah. Some of my just fondest memories were either at a game, going to the car races, going to a Boise State game, going to a U of I game, going to Boise State U of I basketball that started at 10 p.m. because it was the ESPN late game on the West Coast. But also just sitting around in the living room using TV trays, watching a game. I mean, there's some memories of just shots that happened, or, you know, Kirk Gibson hitting a home run, or Carl Lewis in the 1984 Olympics. I mean, just different things like that are just,
yeah,
fond memories I have. But one of the things, and I don't know about you, I think I know the answer, but like, it wasn't, I was never forced into participating in sports.
No, not
at
all.
It was there if I wanted to, but.
Right.
So how do you think the best approach, if you want your kids to be into something, whether it's sports or, you know, I tried a musical instrument. I think we both played a musical instrument. I was in the band. I was in the choir. That's kind of what you did to try things out. And I think that's very healthy. And we had the space and the time to do that. But sports is kind of what I kept being drawn to. And how do you think, what's the best way to introduce sports or other things they might be interested in to your children without forcing it and making them do it?
That's an interesting question, because I haven't really ever thought about that. I think just off the top of my head, just offering them ideas. Would you be interested in trying this? there's a club for that. Yeah. Would you like to play an instrument? But I think like when we were growing up, it was those opportunities were just naturally presented to us, right? Like
a lot of those are introduced at school.
Yeah, in elementary school and so you could try a band instrument, you could be in choir, you could be a part of a play, or we would have all those performances, or even things like even through PE, we would find sports that we liked or that we were good at. And so then when you got to the older grades and you kind of knew the things you liked and you could just naturally try them. So I think through school, what used to be a good way to do that, but now I just think there's so much of this club and all year round sports push from so many people that I don't know that those kids are just naturally getting introduced to it. I think a lot of times it's more parents like, hey, there's a basketball league, there's a basketball club, we're going to sign our kids up. Or,
well, and I hear a lot of like, I just want them to be busy, I want them to be active.
Right. We were just outside playing.
We just went out and played.
Right.
And I think a lot of the way I introduced to it was, well, if my dad was coaching, I was at practice.
Right. And that's the same with our boys.
And so I was around it.
They just kind of grew up around it.
And then you get the flyer for youth basketball, you take it home, and you get the flyer for youth baseball, you take it home. But even like with baseball, I played up until like sixth grade, and then I realized I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So I stopped playing, and there was no like, oh, we wish you would play football. I played football for 4 years, two in middle school, two in high school, and stopped because I didn't love it. And my dad was a football guy, but it was never like, you know, you have to keep playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I quit football to run cross country, and I was terrible at distance running. And I was good at football. So,
and I'm not saying all parents are like this, but I don't think parents approach it that way very much anymore. I feel like, and our kids are a little bit older, but this has been going on long enough that our kids grew up in that kind of culture where sports are pushed from little, very young, and kids get burnt out. They don't like it, but their parents, you know, encourage, I'm doing air quotes, encourage them to continue playing. I don't know if they, I feel like a lot of times kids don't have a choice.
And I remember talking to kids that were quitting in high school because they were so burnt out already.
Probably because they started playing when they were five.
The repetition. And fortunately, I think by that point, their parent was, it was either lose my kid or.
Yeah. You know, well, a lot of kids specialize way too early now too. And, you know, instead of doing three different sports through the school year, they're doing basketball year round. And that is just, it's a recipe for disaster, really. Burnout, injury.
Yeah, I think there's a healthy way to introduce it. And I think there's a healthy way to approach it. I think seasons are important, and there's a reason we have seasons. Like, there's a reason, like the NFL example, or even the NBA. I mean, a lot of those guys don't touch a ball during the off season. They still work out, but it's like they take breaks. I remember like a lot of track athletes, you know, once the summer season's over, they'll take a month or two off before they start training to get ready for indoor the next year, just because they know their body needs to rest. And then we see like with youth sports, that doesn't happen. I made the comparison a couple of weeks ago. I was just thinking about it. Like, we have all these child labor laws in our country and in my organization, right, we have to adhere to them. If you're under 16 in the state of Idaho, you can work 14 to 16, but you have to have a parent, and you have to have a parent's signature, like all this different stuff. And there's a certain crops a little bit younger than that you can be involved. But we have these laws. I mean, only so many hours during the school year, not during school hours, all these different things. But with youth sports, we don't have that type of moderation and that type of governance. We have a bunch of adults. In a lot of cases, some of them have the right intent, I think, but then there's a lot of them that are just looking to make a dollar, and they know the best way for them to make a buck and to keep their organization running is to
keep
these kids busy. Now, I know the good people in there, and I know why they do it, and that's a big difference for me. And you know, one of our sons played one summer at club basketball. One summer.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying, you know, after the first tournament, I mentioned, well, I should, maybe should have got you involved in this earlier. And he said he wasn't. He said, no, I wouldn't have been ready. Like, he knew enough to know. But I also know, like, we never pushed it on him. But when it was time,
yeah,
he was ready to do it.
Yeah. I think with the year-round thing, too, and you talk about training and athletes taking time off, but there's also college and professional athletes, when they train, when they are training, whether it's preseason, season, or postseason, or rest, there's periodization in there, yeah, where their training is not the same.
Way different.
And that's not a lot of times what's happening with these kids that are playing sports nonstop. They're doing the same thing.
Well, it's the same sport, I think, is where you get that reputation. And I like the two-sport, the three-sport athlete, there's just not a lot of that anymore. And we were both fortunate. We went to small high schools, so we were both able to do two or three sports. Our mm-hmm. kids went to small high schools, and they were able to do more than one sport. They had the opportunity to do that because the coaches worked together. There wasn't overlap.
Yeah.
And I think it helps them be a better all-around athlete. Mm-hmm. But now for someone to do multiple sports, they're probably, while they're in season at school, they're probably doing a club season right. as well. And then they're just...
Well, I saw that a lot in track, where we would have kids on the track team at the high school, but they were doing club volleyball. Or, you know, we even had kids doing two school sports, which was slightly ridiculous, but like track and softball. But yeah, you're trying to get the most out of them at track practice as you can, because mom's coming to pick them up to take them to club volleyball or whatever it may be. And it's frustrating as a coach.
And because
I don't have the time that they need, but also because I know they're not going to have the best results being split like that.
Yeah. Well, because their body's just getting excessive.
Yeah. And not enough focused on what one thing for that season.
Well, I think, when introducing our kids to sports, I think the best thing to do is just ask again that question I posed a couple episodes ago, like, is this good for our family? Is this good for my son or daughter?
Just present opportunities.
What's the best approach? Present those opportunities. And then in that, I think the other role as parent is to help your son or daughter succeed in the sport they want to participate in.
Yeah.
And we had the unique opportunity, you know, I was coached by my dad, but we had the unique opportunity, me in basketball and in track, of coaching our sons, and you in track and cross country.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just an interesting dynamic that not everyone has. But what are some of those key things, maybe from just the parenting aspect, but also from the coaching aspect, that you feel like we were able to do to help our boys succeed and reach their goals in athletics?
I was real distracted by the dog.
So just talking about like being as coaches and as parents and working with our boys,
right?
What are some of those things we did that helped them succeed in their sports and in their sport of choice? And I can think of a few things, like, didn't have a ton of extra money to do a lot of different, you know, club stuff for the one that was like, I want to be in basketball, or even the one that wanted to do track. And, you know, Samuel was just totally fine doing his cross country and his track at school, and that was enough. You know, he hated basketball, wasn't really into the other sports. That's not really his thing. But one of the things I said to Jacob was like, hey, I can't afford to do all this club stuff. What I can do is be a coach, and I have a key to the gym, and I can get you in there whenever you want. And so a lot of times it was Sunday evening, we'd go down there and get shots up and work on stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we have a weight set in our garage that the boys are using now as they're home from college, just to make sure they get their workouts in. And that was something that was provided to me, you know. One of the things my dad did, he said it was one of the best investments he ever made, was putting in an outside basketball court at our house. And I spent hours out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it helped any, but I spent hours out there because I love doing it, and just plan, working on my shot, working on my ball handling, and then, you know, lifting weights and running and that type of thing. But I think some of the other things we've done that maybe aren't directly related to the sport, because a lot of parents may not have knowledge of that sport or they don't have the time. I think we've, and you're way better at this than I am or was, I think, in just being there, helping them with their goals.
Yeah.
Helping them just talk through maybe something they might be facing during the season.
A frustrating race or, well, with one of them, I was more that. One of these boys that we're talking about, of the two of the three, one of them talks a lot, processes verbally. The other one doesn't so much, but talking through goals, struggles, a rough game or race, and helping them sort of reframe instead of focusing on something negative that happened or something that they didn't think they did well, helping them reframe that. I think that's something that we've done. I think I kind of had some of the, you know, you getting in the gym, having access to the gym and going down and working on shots and stuff with Jacob. I did do that some in track with Braden too, where we would take extra time to go down and work on blocks or things like that. But two other things that I thought of, one is they didn't get any special treatment from us at practice.
Right.
Like, they were one of the team and they did everything that everyone else did. They were expected to follow all the rules, to complete all the workouts, to be a team player, like all the things. And so just because coach's mom or coach's dad,
it was probably harder on them having us there in some cases.
Maybe. I don't know. They never said that. But yeah. And then the other thing that we really did a lot of, and we've talked about this some, is providing them with solid nutrition at home so that they can feel their best when they perform. And that's going to make everything so much better. This just died.
Your microphone didn't die. Your headphones
died. My headphones died. Yeah,
because you left them out and didn't
charge them. Okay, well, I can't hear anything, but that's okay.
Can you hear what I'm saying right now? You can take them off then. So I think one of the things too is just being as positive and as encouraging as possible.
Yeah.
I think that's something that parents need to do to help their children succeed. And I think being okay if they're not like super excited about it sometimes, and just giving them space to work through things.
Right.
I know one of the things from one of my favorite movies, A River Runs Through It, he talks about, and I think I already talked about this actually, this fly fishing method in teaching was like, teach them and then let them be free to go and experiment on their own. And I don't think that happens enough anymore. I think there's too many times there's just always an adult there
when
the kids are practicing and they don't just go and play a pickup game or go chuck the ball around. Or, I mean, I think that still does happen, but I think that type of freedom and flexibility and allowing them to experiment with the sport.
Yeah.
I mean,
you learn a lot doing that. You
just learn a lot.
Yeah.
And learn how to, you know, ref your own games and, you know, what kind of, what you like or don't like with your running form or, you know, just a wide variety of things. But I think the biggest thing is just keeping home as positive and safe as place as possible, and not a place that they regret coming to after a game.
Right.
And we'll get into
that. They're afraid of the critiquing or things like that could happen.
Yeah. I think mom and dad, which leads us into our next, kind of topic here is, it's an article I used to give to parents at a parents meeting when I would coach their kids. And it's an article by, I can't remember the guy's name, growingleaders.com. It was a blog post, but what parents should say as their kids perform. And there's a lot of different moving parts in this, but it talks about how, part of it is talking about how kids and the things they say, like, I love my mom and dad, but like the way they behave at games is embarrassing.
Yeah.
My friends get on me, or, I feel like I have multiple coaches telling me what to do. I get stressed because they know the only voice they're supposed to hear is their coach.
Right.
And when mom and dad are telling them things that are contradictory.
Right.
I heard of a coach recently. He had a parents meeting, just got hired on at this school. And very first parent meeting, he just said, you know, if I hear you yelling or coaching from the stands, your son will come out of the game.
Hmm.
and said, I need to be the voice. You may not like the way I coach or what we're doing, but I need to be the voice they hear when it comes to terms of what we're trying to establish.
Yeah. I think along the lines of that too is kids coming home to parents telling them the mistakes that they made or what they did wrong. The kids already know.
They already know.
And the coaches probably, hopefully, if they're a good coach, know and have already talked them through that and will help them grow in that and do better next time. So they just don't need to hear it again.
Yeah. So a couple other things that kids have said. I feel like I'm never quite good enough. I can never fully please my parents. I'm getting blackballed by my teammates because my mother keeps texting me and my coach to give suggestions. I wish she would chill. I love my mom, but when she does this, I get the feeling she doesn't trust me. So there's a dynamic there of trusting the coach.
Yeah.
I know as a coach, like their parents have a right. Like they are the parents. And there's a right and wrong way to approach that. I think conversations are good.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times, like, you don't fully understand what the coach's philosophy is. You know, there's, like, for me, you know, basketball, 12 or 13 guys on a team sometimes, and trying to play that many is super hard. And sometimes, like, I just, you agree to disagree. But I think for me, the kids I respected the most were the ones that would just come and talk to me themselves.
Right.
Or the parents that told their kid, no, it's your team. You go have that conversation. Right. And I respected that way more than the parents getting mad at me and just coming and talking to me.
And I think maybe some of our approach in that came from the fact that we were coaches. Yeah. But I think our parents raised us that way as well. That's something we've always encouraged our boys to do is this is your coach and your team. If you have a concern, while it's fine to express it here at home, you need to go talk to the coach yourself. You need to talk to your team.
Yeah. And when I was like an assistant in basketball and both of our boys were in the program, it was just an agreement that, well, fortunately I didn't have to coach the team they were on.
Right.
I was just an assistant on those teams. I was the lower level coach, but also I just had an conversation with the head coach when I started and said, look, I do not want to make a decision about any of my kids, my boys playing time like that. I trust you to make those decisions. And I remember one time they asked me what I thought and I said, no, I'm out. I'm not helping you make this decision.
The other coaches asked you what you thought about because it involved our son.
Yeah. And I was like, no, that's, I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to be a part of that. I didn't think it was right.
Yeah.
And that helped me just be able to focus on all the other boys on the team. And I would work on stuff with them, but when it came to philosophy and what they wanted him to do, I just let them do that. And to have that trust to be able to do that, I think is huge for parents.
Yeah. Parents in the stands need to have that trust.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, it's not too often that a parent is one of the coaches as well, but in the stands.
And it's hard to do. Because your reaction is...
You're worse in the stands than you are on the bench.
I'm way bad.
Yeah.
And because your reaction is like, you're not in the situation. You don't know everything that went over in practice. And
yeah.
So the best thing we can do is just to be there and be a fan. And so more as parents, you don't need to be the supervisor of all your kids' stuff when it comes to their sports, but more of a consultant. Like you're there for them. You can have those conversations like we have and help them work through things or help them see which way they want to go. I mean, I know a former NFL player that told me, I mean, he basically had to tell his father, like, when it comes to football, you don't get any say in any decision that's made. And the dad can't handle that. Hmm. Right. And so I think like there's just things out there. We got to be aware that it's we can't live our lives through our kids and they need to be able to own that sport on their own. And we as parents are there to support and be fans and be a consultant to them to help them, but to not be like the dictator of their life or the supervisor of everything they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think if they come to you burnt out, exhausted, frustrated, whatever, that you have to honor that. Like, we have to listen to our kids, and if they need a break, then let them take a break. If they decide they're done, then let them be done. We can't push.
Yeah, I totally agree. So one of the things that's been super helpful to me, and my boys have called me out on this, is a very simple thing. What we should say before and after our kids perform. So before is have fun, play hard, I love you.
Yeah.
Three simple things. Going back to what you said, if there were mistakes made, well, let me get back to that. And then, so before the competition, have fun, play hard, I love you. After the competition, did you have fun? I'm proud of you. And again, I love you.
Yeah.
After the game, especially. If they played well or competed well, they know it. They feel it. And if they didn't, they feel that too.
Right.
But I think the emphasis on it's a sport. It's play. It's supposed to be fun. It's huge. Mm-hmm. But also, back to what you said, let their coach have that conversation with them about, hey, we need to work on this. Hey, you did it. And totally fine to point something out like, hey, I saw this. You did fantastic in that. Mm-hmm. Great job. But I think really, I have said, did you have fun? I'm proud of you. I love you. And then, hey, but blah, blah, blah. No, dad. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Your dad at home.
Coach already talked to me about that. Coach
already talked to me. I know.
Yeah. Well, and we've had a lot of those conversations too, where coach did have a conversation about tweaking something, or let's try this next time, or I know you know, this didn't go as well as we had hoped, or whatever. And they will come home and it comes up because they will bring it up. They'll not because up. We ask. Well, sometimes we've asked, what did coach say? Or,
but not because we pointed it out and forced it upon them.
No, but having that conversation and allowing that space for them then to process through what their coach is sharing with them. And we just listen. I think that's really important for parents to just listen and not immediately jump in and share our perspective or our coaching or disagreeing with the coach or anything like that. I think it's just, we have to allow the space for the kids to share and process what they're being taught and coached to do, and then just support them in that with those three things that you just said right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you hear about what kids really want to hear, and like after the game, most of them don't want to talk a whole lot anyway, or after the meet or whatever it is. But, you know, I think those are important questions to ask, and you can rehash things for hours and hours and it's not going to get you anywhere, and you're just going to be tired. And there, I mean, there's times I've lost sleep over just thinking through a boys' games or different things like that. But I think the best thing to do is just to be super chill about it. And if they want to talk about it, they'll bring it up. And just, I mean, you got to remember above everything else that it's your son or your daughter, and you love them. And it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of life. I remember one time in college, I was after a timeout walking in front of the student section, getting ready to take the ball out of bounds. And there were people there, and I just looked in the stands, and some of them were paying attention and some people weren't. And just the thought just dawned on me, this is such an insignificant part of what's happening in the world right now.
People really don't care.
Really don't care. I'm having fun. I get to play a game I love.
That's how it should be.
I was just like, no, this so is much, so insignificant.
I feel like it's not like that very often anymore.
And I don't know.
I mean, we've been at a lot of games and it's so intense.
And we played hard and we had fun and we wanted to win. But at the end of the day, it was like, I was married that year. I had to come home and be a husband and had to go to, I wasn't playing at a D1 school that was having someone take my classes for me or my tests. I mean, I had to go to class every day. So, I'm not saying that happens, but
yeah. Harper knows that we're talking about sports. She just got your baseball.
She got my baseball out of the mitt. And then, six simple words, that is, I think, so important. College athletes were asked what their parents said that made them feel great, that amplified their joy during and after a ball game. Their overwhelming response, I love to watch you play. Mm-hmm. That's what our kids want to hear.
Yeah.
Show up, support, cheer from the stands, don't coach, be their biggest fan, and be a consultant.
And just enjoy watching them.
Enjoy watching them play. I think gone are those days when, like, parents just, like, they didn't have time to go to every practice and sit there and watch, or even go to every game. And they just trusted the people that were working with the young people. And now that it's almost like they feel like, if I'm not there, it's not going to go right. And really, Karen, and what's the male equivalent to Karen? I don't know if there is one.
Kevin? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Just chill out a little bit. But that's the way to have an emotionally healthy kid, I think, is to just... And through that whole process of sport, like, be there with him and help him. Because there are some tough things that are going to come up. Mm-hmm. And you can help him be there then. And, you know, point him to their coach. Point him to their teammates. Point him to... We can't be the only adults in our kids' lives shaping them. Right. Like, there has to be other people.
Yeah.
And we've been fortunate that we've had really good people in those roles and still do to help shape our boys.
Yeah, I agree.
And we had, you know, two that are competing in college, and we had one that sports were just not his thing.
Yeah.
He ran cross country and track and tried his best, and he still runs 3 or 4 times a week and still enjoys that. Because he knows it's good for him.
But we helped him find other things that he loves.
He has other things that he's into.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that anyone's asked us this, but I think possibly I've had this conversation with people, like, how do you raise college athletes? We have 2 college athletes. How do you raise college athletes? And as I pose that question and think about it, it's funny because... The advice I'm going to give is not probably what anyone else is going to say. I had a parent one time.
It's probably also not what people want to hear that their kids will be a college athlete.
I had a parent one time tell me that, you know, the son was, whoever private coach he was working with told him he was going to be a Division I athlete. And I mean, that was not going to be the case. And I may or may not have said something like, you pay me how much you're paying that guy. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear to keep that money coming in. And I know, again, not all those people are like that. But I think it's good to be truthful. And I have nothing wrong with kids playing a sport at the high school level and not going on and being good at it at the high school level. But I think the biggest thing is just letting... Especially when they're younger, just letting them be kids.
Yeah.
And letting them grow into and own whatever they want to do as an athlete, and letting those goals be their goals.
Yeah.
And helping them along the way where they ask for help, where they feel like they want help and need help. But again, I think it just goes back to being their biggest supporter, being their biggest fan.
Yeah. And not trying to force college athlete on them.
Right.
Like, I feel like, you know, if somebody were to ask me that question, how do you raise college athletes? I don't really know that.
Well, that wasn't our goal.
No, right. That's not something that you set out to do. You don't have a child and think, I'm going to make this kid a college athlete. You don't, you know, putting them in every single club and every single activity around that sport is not going to guarantee that they're going to become a college athlete. There's so much that goes into it. I mean, they have to have the ability, they have to have the skill, the genetics, they have to have a work ethic. So many kids don't. They have to want it. They have to love the sport. Like, it's pretty intense to be a college athlete, and they have to really love it because it is a grind and it's year round. I think how you raise a college athlete is just what you were saying. You support your kids as they explore and as they try something out. And if they find that they're good at something and they make that a goal of theirs, then you support them in that. And you do, like, all of those exterior things to help them reach their goal, not coaching them or not contradicting their coach, but just supporting them at home with love, with nutrition, with making sure they're getting good sleep, with all of those things, I think is how you raise a college athlete.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
it has to be their goal.
It has to be their goal, and having realistic expectations in that. And right. and really, if they're and being okay with like whatever level
yeah.
of college.
There's especially
so many,
now.
There's so many different places to play, and they're, you know, they're limiting rosters at the Division yep. I level. But there's nothing wrong with Division II. There's nothing wrong with Division III. There's nothing wrong with NAIA. Right. There's nothing wrong with junior
community college.
There's yep. nothing wrong with the National Small College Athletic Association.
Because the amount of kids, I don't even remember what it is, the percentage of kids that play in college at any level is so small.
Oh, it's like 2 or 3%.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it might be 2 or 4. Anyway, yeah, it's so small. You can't rule out all options, because college athlete is a college athlete. I mean, everybody wants to be D1.
Every small town in the Midwest has a college, yeah. It seems like. There's so many opportunities. And at that level, I think, is at all levels, they love to play. But it's really just like you love to play.
Yeah.
And there are opportunities out there. And I think it's okay to be like... Like, there's really good basketball at the NAIA level. There's yeah. really good junior college basketball. And it's the same for, like, track or football. Like, there's really good athletes at all those different levels, and it's fun to watch, and it's... And I think if someone wants to participate, like, just know, like, if you have your sights set the highest level and you don't get there, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think just... being okay to talk with your children about that. And I think too, like, if you're athletic and you work hard, someone's going to see you.
Yeah.
It's hard to go unnoticed anymore. Someone's going to find you. And if you're not as athletic, but you still love it, then you know what? You had a really great high school experience, and it added to your friend group and your ability going down the road to help grow you as a person.
Right.
So I think in our family, you know, it's an important piece. It's not the ultimate piece.
Mm-hmm.
I think, maybe just to tack on one more thing, it's not, I think we always kept it in perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. You know, we didn't miss church on Sunday morning very often for mm-hmm. a sporting event.
Yeah.
And we made sure to have balance in their lives so they didn't get just overwhelmed and too tired.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm catching my breath.
Oh, you're trying not to breathe hard.
I'm super cautious right now. But I think that's something too, is just like have that balance and teach them that and yeah. the perspective. Because at some point, you know, they're a human being who does athletics. It's not an athlete who's a human being. Like,
right.
All those other things, you know, are who they are, their identity in Christ, being who God created them to be, a son or daughter, you know, whatever else they are to contribute to society. Athletics can be a part of that, and
yeah.
they can use that platform to be who they're supposed to be. But I think keeping it in proper perspective is hugely important as well. And it's not the end all be all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of was like the last thought that I had in my head was, we've had conversations with our boys about keeping it in perspective and also recognizing that their abilities are a gift from God yeah. and using that gift to glorify God, using that gift to witness to others, using that gift to worship as an act of worship, because you're using that ability that He gave you. I think that's something that we also have always, I mean, since our faith is such a huge part of our life, and that intertwines into even raising college athletes, that helping them keep that perspective right and keeping their eyes focused on this gift that God gave them, use it appropriately.
Yeah. Yep. I 100% agree. And having fun in the entire process. Hey, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us again this week. The Whole Life projectpodcast@gmail.com is where you can find us in the email land, at the WLP podcast on the socials. Pretty much it's just going to be Instagram and YouTube. Facebook said I created a Facebook page and they said I wasn't impersonating somebody else. And so they suspended it. And I don't know what happened.
We don't
with
know
that.
Who.
I don't know who I was impersonating. And I really don't like Twitter. I'll just be honest. Or X.
X. I don't even, I'm not even on there.
So
I don't know.
It's pretty much going to be Instagram, our personal socials, and YouTube.
For our purposes, for the time being, I think that's plenty.
I think that's really good.
Also, I think it's funny that you say W.
I'm sorry.
At the WLP.
I'm sorry, Heidi, for my pronunciation of.
It's fine. I think it's funny.
The letter W.
W.
Thanks for listening. If you're watching somewhere, you know, when you want to subscribe and follow us, we'd appreciate that. And then I would just encourage you to seek God, to serve your family, and to strengthen your body. Have a great week.
See ya. Thanks.